And so I'd like to go on into our first portion of the study on the house of Israel, the judgments, promises, and blessings of the Lord. And so I'd like to start where, and we cannot go into such a study without doing a little foundational work, and where many of these things began. Foundationally, and we need to start with Abraham, patriarch and prophet. And we find that, of course, we've taken a look at many studies upon Abraham, and he is the grandfather of Jacob, or surnamed Israel, and that God had rather set him aside, and he gave him his name. He named his name upon him, and rather set him apart, consecrating him, Israel. But we find that Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, originally, he was called Abram, and he also was surnamed Abraham. No longer would you be called Abram, but you'd be called Abraham. And I have a scripture here if you'd like to read with me. Let's turn over to James. The book of James, in the second chapter, in the 23rd verse. Oh, no, she bumped her head. Oh, my. Uh-oh. It's safer to be like grandma, isn't it? It's safer to be like grandma. Well. James, in the second chapter, in the 23rd verse, says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." In the very beginning, we find a separation, very symbolic of what we find, with you and I becoming a Christian and being separated from the world. As we were reading this morning, we have escaped the world, the pollutions in the world through lust. Okay, as we were reading in our Sunday school in 2 Peter, talking about virtues and escaping these things, that Abraham, in the very beginning, gives a very important, powerful example that he needed to get out of his country. The Lord commanded Abraham, "Get out of your country." They found that there was false worship and abominations and so on. And he called Abraham unto himself to worship the one true God. And he had to leave Ur of the Chaldees and where he was at. And he needed to go off unto himself. And we find a very important thing here too, that there was going to be a covenant established. And we're going to find many things that started there, that even unto lands of inheritance of Israel. As we're studying Israel, we have to take a look at what was given to Abraham and promises and covenants given and made with Abraham unto where these promises and covenants were going to even be kept and fulfilled because of that very promise. And remember, God does not forget his promises. God does not forsake his covenants. God keeps them. But when we make a covenant with God, he'll always be there. He'll keep his end. It's we that depart. It is we that take and walk our own way, or as we were talking this morning about transgressions or sins or falling away. It is we that fall away. God has remained steadfast and there. And so covenants and blessings, God will maintain, and God has through time, and he has shown, especially with his people, unto his people Israel. They have kept as a nation Israel, even though they've been scattered and so on, but then been recognized as a nation, and even to fulfillment of where they're at upon in Jerusalem at this time. And so he's called the friend of God, even to where he would have given up his own son. We think to ourselves, well, some think, well, they could have done that. Could you have taken and bound your son and taken him to a mountaintop to have been sacrifice him yourself? Yourself. Would you have given your own child's life yourself? Did Abraham think to know that the Lord would reach out and say, you stop now? He was going ahead. The throttle was engaged. He was going ahead. And he was going to sacrifice his own son because he loved God that much. And God knew that, and he recognized that. The type of faith that would go beyond his own flesh and blood. When Abraham understood that this was going to be the heir, he didn't understand how the Lord was going to give him this child that he loved to the woman that he loved, and yet said, here, you go take his life now. He didn't understand to know, but he didn't. And we don't know the conversations and the crying that Abraham had as he bound his son in reverence and obedience and faithfulness to go to that mount to sacrifice his own son. We don't know the thoughts in his hearts and so on, but yet we read of his obedience, and God recognized this as well. Because of his faithfulness, he received many promises and covenants of the Lord unto his descendants, especially Israel and his children. If you'd look with me over into Isaiah in the 41st chapter. Isaiah in the 41st chapter and the 8th verse. He makes a very powerful statement here. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Isn't that something else? The Lord says this, God of all eternity, responsible for our very creation, creating him of the dust of the earth. One of his very, very creation. And that he would look unto this man. And he makes this statement also, but thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, Israel and Jacob are one and the same. He was Jacob to begin with, then surnamed Israel, as we're going to read. The seed of Abraham, my friend, or his descendant. We find that the covenant of Israel begins and ends with Abraham. That in Jesus Christ, okay, is the most important thing. It begins and ends in Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I would like to go, let's go over to Genesis in the 13th chapter in the 12th verse. I have to read it, start at verse 12. 12 through 18. Genesis 13, verse 12. Now remember that Abraham was drawn out of where he had lived with his father and the rest of the family, whomever that was, and the people he grew up with. These were his people. And the Lord called him apart. And to come out and that, he says, I'm going to bless you. And he's giving all these promises because of he recognized something in Abraham. Great faith. He drew him apart unto himself to raise him up and raise up a people within the foreknowledge of God. And he says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And well, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can remember the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the land of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Okay. A lot of times if they would take, and if they wanted to make something particularly memorable, and they wanted to make a statue there, or a statue, or so on and so forth, they would build an altar, and many times make sacrifice to appease the Lord and His blessing and His power and His mercy. But he dwelt in Hebron. Remember that. Remember that verse right there. Okay. And there's another reference that I'm going to give you a little bit earlier, a little bit later. People wonder why they were called the Hebrews. If we look in our studies, and there's another reference I'm going to give you a little later on here too, that they dwelt in Hebron. We call Abraham the Hebrew. And I believe this was the beginning of it. This is where they dwelt, Hebron. And so, one thing to note here, very importantly to note, where was it that he told them to go look? He was in the land of Canaan. Now, we know that today, and then it's going to be into our future, what about the Lord's fulfillment of what he's going to do unto the children of Israel? Most importantly, they're going to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they will accept it and so on, and he's going to lead them and gather them, and they're going to be restored to what? Lands of their inheritance. What lands of inheritance are they talking about? And it's those in and around. They were divided up in the in and around Jerusalem. A lot of them are now in Arab countries. But they can't have them right now. They can't have them right now because they're inhabited by people that hate them. And who are the people that hate them? The people that hate them, the Israelite nation in and around that area, basically are those that are also seed of Abraham, his firstborn son. And most of that, of course, is going to be a lot of those that are brought to bear, if we look in the book of Zechariah and Ezekiel 38, 39, and so on, talking about end time events and those that are going to come upon Israel, and then the Lord steps in for them, fights for them, then blesses them. But we find that the land of Canaan is what the Lord promised first of all to Abraham. And this is the lands that the children of Israel be led unto when they come out of Egypt after the captivity, when the Lord is going to gather them unto himself at the mount. And then they were to go in and go over Jordan and to subdue the land. It would be divided into portions and inheritance. But remember, this was first given to Abraham. Look with me, if you will, over the book of 3 Nephi, chapter 9. 3 Nephi, chapter 9. Page 659. Verse 63. And he's of course speaking to the one branch of the house of Israel that he had come to, Jesus Christ, upon this continent. Well, basically, we think that this could have taken place more down in the Yucatan Peninsula area, in and around the land of Zarahemla. Those that were deemed righteous, judged righteously, they were not taken away with the great earth shake after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which was prophesied to them, and they were waiting for him. And so he's teaching them, and he is telling them about the covenant, and also the fulfilling of the covenant. Behold, ye are the children of the prophets, and ye are of the house of Israel. Now, I want to make just a note here for a moment. In the book of Hebrews, talks about that unto Israel were committed the oracles of God. Now, what does that mean? That was committed unto them to be given prophecy and revelation, to be an oracle or a mouthpiece of God. Okay? As we look in the study of King Saul, this was David's predecessor, that when he was prophesying amongst the prophets, and they said, who is this Saul? Is he among the prophets now? Elijah was one of the prophets in Israel. Elisha was one of the prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Joel, many of them were prophets of the Lord, and many hundreds and thousands of others. Unto Israel was committed the oracles of God. And so, verse 63 says, behold, ye are the children of the prophets, and ye are of the house of Israel, Israel's children and descendants. Ye are of the covenant, which are of the father made unto your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, not only is he talking to them, but not only that would they be talking to the corners of the earth that the children of Israel were led and dispersed to. And remember this, too, that not all the people that were dispersed upon the earth were of the house of Israel. Now, do you recall at the time of the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel was much, much before. It was before Abraham, wasn't it? They were led forth upon all the face of the earth. That the Lord of hosts would do this. And we find even that the brother of Jared, with Jared and his families, and they came forth, and before they were to come to this land, they were preparing boats and so on and so forth. And the brother of Jared was led up into the mountain. And it said Jesus Christ revealed himself to him. And this was before Abraham. And they were led forth from that great tower upon all the face of the earth. And so the Lord has also spoken, I believe, to many other portions of the earth. You know, and we find proofs of this even today. So these blessings, that all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, that if they will believe in the one true God and His Son Jesus Christ, especially in this day and age. One little note too, as far as one proof, we look at the Chinese language. It's an old language, took place thousands of years ago, that was formulated thousands of years ago, and has been kept fairly the same or pure. From the time that it was developed by some of the early writers, such as Confucius. And on some of their ceremonial urns, and there's a book that I have that talks about the pictorial characters of the Chinese language, that the pictorial characters of the Chinese language have many of the stories in the book of Genesis, describing, you know, the flood and the garden and many other things. The main pictorial characters of the book of Genesis, or in the Chinese language, I should say. And so we find where the Lord has put His fingerprint upon this earth many times, to many peoples in many parts of the earth. And we're going to find, I believe, many records yet to come as the servants of the Lord to go out into the vineyard in order to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and such as our brother Dennis is going to be going out for 6 weeks and needs our prayers. He and Betsy going over to Africa, and his Lord will bless them and bless those that they're going to. So, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And when we find that the children of Israel were in an area, the people around them knew that when they were righteous, when they were obeying the commandments of the Lord, that the power of God was among the people and He protected them, and there was no army on earth that could stand against the house of Israel or the children of Israel when they were obeying and worshiping their God. No one could stand against them. The fear of the Lord was upon the rest of the earth. And there were many that would even come to want to become one of the house of Israel because of this. And there, but there was ways that that had to be done too. And many times the Lord said, you're not to mix with these other people too because of their abominations. Don't mix with them. And the Lord kind of gives us that indication definitely in commandment today about not dwelling amongst the unbelievers. Unless we're trying to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you need to stay strong, but be letting our Christianity falter and wane and linger, and we get involved in worldly camouflage, if you will. We got to be careful of this. And so I believe that in the scriptures today, we're living amongst what they call the time of the heathen. The time when many are rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is going to be fulfilled, or the promise to be fulfilled, like he says unto Abraham. We're going to be reading shortly. In verse 64, the Father having raised me up unto you first, and sent me to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities. And that's because ye are the children of the covenant. What covenant? The covenant to whom? Abraham. Absolutely. After that ye were blessed, then fulfilleth the covenant the Father he made with Abraham, saying, and thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed unto the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles. Once here, wasn't just to the house of Israel, was it? Unto the Gentiles. Paul was sent unto the Gentiles. Peter even makes mention of going unto the Gentiles. And shall make them mighty above all unto the scattering of my people, the house of Israel. And they should be a scourge unto the people of this land. If you look at the history of the American Indian, it's not like the glory of a John Wayne movie. It's not. I've done some studies on these things myself. I'm looking through some of the ancient prophecies of the American Indian. There was one given to a man by the name of Chasing Deer. He was an Indian elder talking about the history of what we did to the American Indian. We come upon this land. You can read the conquest of Mexico and what had happened to the people that were devastated down there. And they killed millions. And what we did to the people here upon this land. But nevertheless, when they have received the fullness of my gospel, then if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquities upon their heads, saith the Father. This is the Gentile people. And I will remember the covenant which I have made with my people, and I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time. And I said a little earlier that the scriptures declare that it about even in our future, see? And this is going on today. There needs to be a bulwark for the foundation of Zion. And that is going on today. The foundational work is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I would give unto them the lands of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. And so, where did they originally receive these lands of inheritance? Was it when Moses came out of the mount? When was it promised to them? What did we read a little bit earlier about where Abraham was walking? He gave it to him and his seed forever, didn't he? And so, and it shall come to pass that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them. They shall believe in me that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. And then shall their watchmen lift up their voices. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. Then will the Father gather them together again, and give unto them Jerusalem for the land of their inheritance. Then shall they break forth unto joy, and sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Father hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Father hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations. All the nations of the earth shall see the salvation of the Father, says, and the Father and I are one. And then shall be brought to pass which was written, awake, awake again, and put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now, we're going to look into just a little bit of that, too. that it to come unto the house of Israel, or to come into the group that Abraham was his people, about circumcision, being consecrated unto the Lord. One other point here we find, now, that the nation Israel, or those there at Jerusalem now, are not the redeemed. There is the prophecy of inhabiting Jerusalem again, yes. We know that has happened. But they need to believe in the one true God. And they need to be purified in Jesus Christ. Malachi talks about offering unto righteousness. And they need to be they have the circumcision of the heart is that offering. Not that red heifer they're talking about there in the temple that they need to build, which is on the Temple Mount, which the abomination is on that Temple Mount now, and that is the Mosque of Omar, the Muslim religion. And so Abraham and his descendants. So we find the beginning of the covenant of Abraham, didn't we? That we're going to find when that covenant's going to be fulfilled. Did we pick that up there? When he talks about that in verse 65, he fulfilleth the covenant which he made with Abraham. And all I say shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed under the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me unto the Gentiles. And then goes on from there to the restoring of his children unto the lands of their inheritance. Okay, the fulfilling of it began with him, and it's going to end with him as well, but in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. We find that more predominantly we find Abraham's two sons, not they didn't have other children. We had two we have particular mention of that have a very long-ranging and powerful range of descendants and so on that were named upon them. That let's look in Genesis 16, if you will, with me. Genesis in the 16th chapter. And I'd like to read verses 11 and 12. We find a prophecy that is proclaimed upon Abraham's oldest son, and that was through his handmaid, because Sarah, or Sarai at that time, could not have children, and so she gave Abraham her handmaid. And we find this to be common, as we're going to find out here in our study a little bit, where the children were given of handmaids. And then it was a different thinking, really, than what we would see today, really, than in marriage and things. It's just not practiced, you know, like that anymore. It may be in some countries, but generally it's not here. They call it polygamy. They'll arrest you and take you away. We're not giving handmaids and things like that, and I know that I'd be in a whole peck of trouble if I were to engage in that myself. I know that my wife, you know, I probably have a black eye or two. I trained one, I don't need to train another one anyway, so I know I'm going to get it on the way home. No. Anyway, Genesis 16, 11, 12 talks about the angel of the Lord said unto her, and thou art with child, and shall bear his son, and call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And that he shall be, and call his name Ishmael, because and he will be a wild man, verse 12, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand shall be against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And to find that talking to Hagar, talking to Sarai too, but also talking to Hagar, you know, that she's going to bear a son. And then she was caused to separate with the son later on. And you know that that's one of their holy holidays in amongst the Muslim people. That they know about Abraham, and they go back to Abraham, and they go back to once again Ishmael, and one of their feasts or one of their holy days is they have a little jug of water. Remember, Scripture talks about that there was a little well that came up, and the Lord said to Hagar when they were in the desert and about ready to die, and he says, I've heard the lad where he's at. There's a little well that come up there, and they were sustained, and they were blessed. Well, that little well, that water, they have a little ceremonial jug, and they have a little feast day or a little holy day celebrating that time when Hagar was saved from starvation and thirst in their religion. So they know about Father Abraham. And it's commonly, now, which of the Arab nations, of course, is a matter of descendants and all of that, and a lot of them are Arab brothers. They may have scraps. One thing to note about the Arab nations, they may have scraps between them in wars, contentions, and things like this, and cross-border disputes, and so on and so forth. They may do that, but if you attack one Arab nation today, what happens? They're all against you. And what do you think proof of this is today? You take a look over in Afghanistan, and you look at a news report. You look at Iraq, and a news report that they're fighting there. And you wonder, where are all these people coming from to fight? There's 20, 30,000 or more, 100,000 of these they call them freedom fighters, that are coming. They're pouring over the borders. They're enlisting them, and they're coming. You're fighting the Arab nations. You're fighting them all. And this is why that Bill Clinton did not go in, but George Bush did. There was a spearhead and a provoke, and we're led in order to protect Israel. But before that time, Bill Clinton, his advisors told him, if you go in, you will own that country. In other words, you're going to be absorbed there and you're not going to get out. Where are we at today? We're getting absorbed there. We're finding more of a fulfillment of a vision that was given to Brother Marvin Carroll. It was given years ago at a conference talking about the fight against the Arab nations as depicted as a great brown bear. And it was to come to maul the little boy being representative of the United States. And he knew this. And he's seen that in his vision that was opened up to him. And we are seeing that today. We are being absorbed there. Many of our young men and women are dying there. We're finding what's happening there today. And that's that same fight. And they are against us because what? We're helping Israel. We are helping Israel. And so we find a representative of what is a fight because of the birthright of Abraham's two sons. Look with me over Genesis 15, 5 and 6, please. And here we find where the Lord is speaking to Abraham. And he's also prophesying unto him. Actually, let's look at verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, speaking of Ishmael. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And basically, of Sarah. This is the woman that he loved. And actually, Sarah was his sister. And you say, well, where did that come about? Well, different mother. We find that when he was in Egypt, they went there in order to keep from starvation. Told Pharaoh that this was his sister. Pharaoh wanted to take Sarah as his wife. And then the plagues of the Lord came upon Pharaoh. And it was told him, hey, wait a minute, this isn't this man's sister, this is his wife. And so he went to Abraham and said, what have you done to me? You told me this is your sister. And Abraham says, oh, wait a minute. Technically, that's true. He said, but yes, she is my wife. He says, well, wait a minute, what are you trying to bring upon me? He says, here's a bunch of wealth. You go your way. And bless me also that this plague may be taken off from me and my people. And so he departed in peace. And so we find that verse 5 says, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars that thou be able to number them, And he said to them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And then, of course, he says, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. Okay? And so, okay, now, let's make sure and keep a finger in Genesis, but let's look over in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter. Book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. And I thought I'd start at verse 8 to 12. Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. And by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He was going by the voice of the Lord. And remember, he was brought up, first of all, to believe in other gods. Well, the knowledge of the one true God come to him, and he obeyed. Then he was told to separate himself from all his kinsmen and leave. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, or as his descendants. Okay. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang therefore even of one, and him as good as is dead so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand of the sea, which is by the sea, and seashore more innumerable. And so we once again, or by faith, absolute faith, which action moves as described in Paul's writings and Alma's writings and many of them, that they are moved to do what they do in faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You and I today moved to decide, to act, and to build our lives upon foundationally to the knowledge of him that, like we were reading this morning, called us unto glory and to virtue in 2 Peter. And so we find once again that Ishmael, I have noted, is basically, we find that once again the studies, a lot of them are of many of the Arab nations. Maybe not all, but most of them trace their route back to Ishmael. And then Isaac, through Sarah, or Sarai, or Sarah, she was basically surnamed, if you will, such as Abraham was surnamed Abraham, such as instead of Abram. And the nation of Israel, which would receive the greater blessing. Remember, this is where a lot of things started. Because remember, as we were reading about Abraham, that who would come forth of his bowels, or Isaac, would receive the greater blessing. Not that Ishmael wouldn't be blessed, but that his descendant through Isaac would be where the blessing would come. Okay, and Hebrews 11:18. If I should have added to hold your finger there. In Hebrews 11:18. Of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Once again, another showing of, you know, where we're going to here. Now we're doing a foundational study here that we need to start with Abraham in the house of Israel. And then this being part one, and I'm going to be going on following weeks and to talk more about Israel, and where especially how it's foundationally important to us in the Church of Christ, in Christ's Church, in Christ's Gospel, in the purposes of the Father and the Son, and into our future, how important it is in our future. Genesis 17, remember holding our finger back there? Genesis 17. 19 through 21. It says also, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time, set time, in the next year. And so, some would like to say that Abraham had this mysterious spirit given to him, or inclination, or he was kind of guessed at what he was doing. I've read some things showing where he didn't really explicitly say that he talked with God and so on. Well, I'll tell you what, the scripture tells me differently. Verse 22 says, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. He said he talked with him. I believe that God talked to many people. I believe that God can talk to many people today, faithful. Book of Mormon says that by faith, if you believe that he can, that we're in a sad state of affairs, because he's saying yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, I believe God talked to Abraham. We find that the rite of circumcision was instituted with Abraham, consecrating the males to the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 17, where we were at. But verses 10 and 12. Verse 10 says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man, child, and your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. And so, and we won't get into what circumcision is all about. It's rather just a male crew cut, let's put it that way. And but it was something, the main thing was it was consecrating them unto the Lord. And this was like a token of the covenant. Why particularly did it start, you know, that it had to be something like that? Well, that's another study to itself, I'm sure. But regardless, it started with Abraham. We find that they were doing it amongst the children of Israel. But this is where it could come to. Abraham also prophesied of the 400-year captivity of the Israelite nation into Egypt and their release. Let's go over to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Let's read verses 13 and 14. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation, whom they serve, will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Did this happen? Well, you bet it did. Every point. A stranger in a land that is not theirs. They went into Egypt to be sustained there. Remember, Abraham went into Egypt to be sustained there. Even Abraham went out of Egypt with great substance. And this has happened time and time again. Egypt is an old nation. And of course they afflicted them by way of their taskmasters and all that they had done. And even to where the gods that were in Egypt afflicted the children of Israel in the desert. And it was a problem with the Israelite nation. Abomination of idol worship with the nations around them. And the Lord told them to be separate because of these abominations. And did the Lord judge Egypt for afflicting and holding his people when he told them to let him go? You certainly he did. He judged Egypt. Look at all the plagues that come upon Egypt. Did they go out with substance? They certainly did come out with substance. What did they do with some of the substance they come out with? Can anybody tell me what the first thing they did? basically the first thing the Lord told them not to do, didn't he? What did they do with some of that stuff they took with them? Made the calf. That's right. How did who had made the calf? Aaron. How did Aaron know how to make that calf? Was one of the guys in Egypt. Aaron knew the art of their temple work and had helped them make those things. And so they coerced him to do this. So the influence, you know, of Egypt actually went with them. They did go out with substance, though. And so, also, Genesis 35:27. Here's another reference for you. Genesis 35:27. Just a couple of points of things to remember. 35 and 27. It says, and Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. Once again, here is the mention of Hebron. And all of all indications, this is why they call them the Hebrews, because where they dwelt was Hebron. Okay. That's our last frame of the day. And that is that as we look in Genesis 35:23-29, that we find the descendants of Isaac, okay, Jacob, take a look with me at Genesis 35 and 10. Look at Genesis 35 and 10. God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. The Lord rather surnamed him and consecrated him to being Israel. This is what he would. This was the Lord's doing and the Lord's fingerprint upon him. And and once again, if you want to see, Genesis 35:23-29 talks about the children of Israel. And then this is there's Isaac, Jacob, and then through Jacob or Israel, these were Israel's sons. Okay? Basically, I believe I should have had Genesis 35:23-29 behind Jacob and Genesis 35:10 up behind Isaac. I just had that just like this. Because basically Genesis 35 is the children of Israel or Jacob and should have been below that. That was my oversight. But regardless, here we find once again children coming through a handmaid. Now they're all the children of Israel. Who? Because of the same father, Israel or Jacob. His wife Leah, okay, and wife Rachel. Does anybody remember anything particular about Leah and Rachel? They were sisters. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, when we find that Jacob and Esau, Esau was the older brother. Now we find something very important about this too, and how Jacob had received his two wives. Okay, he went to work with Uncle Laban, and Uncle Laban deceived him. Leah was the older daughter, and Rachel was the younger daughter. We find where the chickens come home to roost. I mentioned this before. No matter what, when Jacob had went to his father Isaac for a blessing. That Isaac had told Esau to go hunt and get him some wild game. Remember that one? And to go make that savory dish that you make for me. Bring it back to me and I'll bless you. Well, Isaac's mother heard that and said, now you go get me one of the lambs and dress it. And I'll make the savory dish for you. And you go get some sheepskin and put it on your arms. And so he takes the savory dish his mother makes, takes it to his father, and he's deceiving him, basically. And he did, no matter what, it was a deception. And so Isaac, his dad, says, I know your arms. That's the arm of Esau. He said, but the voice is Jacob's. He said, no matter what, he ate, and then he blessed him. then Esau came. There's no, I don't have that first blessing for you anymore. I've already given it. But then Esau says, basically says, I'm going to kill my younger brother. His mother, Jacob's mother, says, look, go over and see Uncle Laban. You stay with him for a while, while this thing cools down. So he goes to Uncle Laban. And once again, you know the old adage, what goes around comes around. So he serves him 7 years for Rachel, he thought. And when he woke up in the morning of his wedding, the night after his wedding feast, he realized this is not Rachel. This is Leah. And Reuben, Uncle Laban says, well, I didn't teach you. You should have known better. I was going to give you the older daughter. So what? He labors another 7 years for the woman that he loved. What goes around comes around. Remember, he was deceived. So, has a way of coming back. No matter what, there was a deception for that birthright. But yet, we find in somehow God's purposes, this is, you know. And so, but then again, that the handmaidens were used with Dan and Naphtali through Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, and Zilpha, that were Gad and Asher, Leah's handmaid. They were used, you know, for children. And so that is basically our study for this portion of this day.